time for Wrigley's Spearmint.
The March of Time.
The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum bring you the March of Time just as they present their own products for your enjoyment. This is an exciting year. What events it will bring forth, no man can tell. But come what may, you can depend upon the editors of Time to bring you their swift reenactment of these memorable events. So, too, you can always depend upon Wrigley's for quality and satisfaction.
Tonight, the editors of Time, the weekly news magazine, raise the curtain on their reenactment of the scenes which today have added one more dramatic page to history, to the March of Time.
Thursday, May 28, 1936. Today in the House of Representatives at Washington is climaxed the week of bickering and indecision which has followed the defiant walkout of Dr. Francis E. Townsend from the House Committee hearing on the muddled financial affairs of his old age pension plan. Finally goaded into action by the sideline taunts of pensioner Townsend himself, Committee Chairman Bell today rises to the floor.
Mr. Speaker,
the gentleman from Missouri,
I should like to enter the resolution for a citation of contempt of the House of Representatives of the United States and the punishment by the courts of Dr. Francis E. Townsend and Associates.
The resolution has been presented to the House. Debate will be limited to 1 hour.
Mr. Speaker, why do we need any debate at all?
Mr. Speaker,
the gentleman from Montana,
the country should know that the Bell Committee questioned Dr. Townsend and his associates as though they were investigating a bunch of criminals.
It is the action of Dr. Townsend, not the action of the committee, which is the present issue.
Mr. Speaker, for every minute of publicity that Dr. Townsend gets out of this debate, his hired promoters will raise thousands of dollars from the gullible old people of this country for a so-called defense fund, which will go to buy $5 dinners for Dr. Townsend.
Mr. Speaker, the gentleman's remarks are uncalled for and insulting. As a point of personal privilege, I ask that Dr. Bell be removed from the floor.
The gentleman will kindly stop waving his arms and sit down. I call for a vote on the resolution for citation of contempt of the House of Representatives of the United States against Dr. Francis E. Townsend and Associates. All those in favor?
Aye.
As the first citation in 23 years for contempt of the House of Representatives is passed overwhelmingly with no record of the members who voted aye and nay, as the case of Dr. Townsend is automatically handed over like that of any accused criminal to the district attorney for presentation to the grand jury, as money for the oft-prophesied defense fund of martyred Townsend begins almost immediately to pour into the Townsend headquarters in California, from his self-styled haven of rest in Baltimore, tonight taunts Dr. Townsend.
I should think that any schoolboy with intelligence above that of a tadpole would know that the action of the House is merely an attempt to smear my good name and that of the organization I represent for political purposes. But I should feel much greater indignation if I were not so thoroughly amused,
replies Committee Chairman Bell.
The district attorney assures me that he'll do everything he can to bring Dr. Townsend to a speedy trial. Dr. Townsend may not be so amused when he finds himself convicted of an offense which may carry a fine of $1,000 and a sentence of 1 year in jail.
Today in Moscow come repercussions of Pope Pius XI's address fortnight ago.
We are thankful for Italy's deliverance of the distressed people of Ethiopia and the triumphal gladness of the whole Italian nation in the peace which has been achieved. But I say to you that there is still a menace of great evil in the world today. That is communism, an insidious force which threatens the sanctity of the family, the established order of security and religion, and stands as the one great threat to the future peace of the world.
Lashes back the official news organ of Soviet Russia, Izvestia.
It is most difficult to reconcile Pope Pius's chants of peace on earth, goodwill to men, with his open rejoicing in the triumph which has been won by Italian bombs and poison gas over the people of Ethiopia. In that statement is ample evidence that behind the marble statues of Venus in the Vatican Museum, there still lurk the sinister specters of the Middle Ages.
So today, on the issue of the Italo-Ethiopian War, is focused the long-standing feud between the communism of Russia and the Catholicism of Pius XI. The colonial war, which received blessings from both sides, from the Pope, his triumphal thanksgiving, from communist Russia, huge shipments of fascist Mussolini's greatest war necessity, crude oil. Today in London is revealed the final disposition of a collector's item from the eccentric paraphernalia of Irish wit and playwright, 80-year-old Sir George Bernard Shaw. On an ordinary penny postcard mailed from London, writes crotchety oldster Shaw,
"To the Secretary of the Society for the Benefit of Invalid Children. Dear sir, in regard to your invalid children, the world at present is not a fit place for even normal children. I suggest that you give your little invalids a gorgeous party, and then, when they have danced themselves to sleep, turn on the gas and let them all wake up in heaven. George Bernard Shaw."
And today, at an auction for the benefit of invalid children, prominently displayed in a showcase is the postcard of philosopher Shaw. Addressing a charitarian gathering from a raised platform is the auctioneer.
"Now, ladies and gentlemen, the next item. Mr. George Bernard Shaw's postcard, written in Mr. Shaw's own handwriting and signed by him. Mr. Shaw has granted his kind permission to auction it for the benefit of the crippled children. What are my bids?"
"10 shillings.
10 shillings? 10 shillings for this rare Shavian autograph? Do I hear 15?
10 pounds.
Did I understand the gentleman to say 10 pounds?
"You did."
"10 pounds is the bid. Do I hear more? Going. Gone to the gentleman for 10 pounds. Here you are, sir. 10 pounds, right. You must be a very ardent admirer of Mr. Shaw."
"I am not. I bought this card to ensure that the ridiculous sentiment expressed on it by Mr. Shaw would get no further than this room. I intend to burn it, here and now."
And today comments the advocate of asphyxiation for invalid children, George Bernard Shaw.
"Of course I knew the society wouldn't take my advice, and so I was glad to have the invalid children get 10 pounds with so little effort on my part. I also knew that there would be someone in that auction room who would hate me with sufficient intensity to buy the card for a handsome figure."
Today on the American Journal of Cancer, announces Johns Hopkins pathologist Dr. Dean Howard Affleck,
"One of the deadliest and most malignant growths confronting medical science today is black cancer, whose black pigment is the same as that coloring the ordinary mole. But what few people realize is that a harmless little black mole may suddenly and without warning turn into black cancer. 4 out of 5 cases of black cancer of a group under my care began with a mole, sometimes with swelling in the tissue around the mole or enlargement of the mole itself, with subsequent ulceration and intermittent bleeding. The most ominous symptom, however, is the appearance of other small pigmented growths surrounding the original mole. This is almost invariably followed by a rapid spread of black cancer throughout the intestines and all internal organs of the body, and by death. But by the time the change from mole to black cancer has progressed sufficiently to come to the attention of the patient, it is usually too late. The only hope for the present seems to lie in the removal of any pigmented mole before such a change can begin."
Today, Grand Moscow comes the grim aftermath of a trial which began 2 weeks ago in the Soviet Supreme Court. Defendants Konstantin Semenchuk, ex-governor of the Soviet post on Wrangel Island, 300 miles within the Arctic Circle, and S.P. Stachev, dog sled driver. Hear the state's witness, widowed Gitella Feldman-Wolfson, now on the stand.
Dr. Wolfson and I were attached to a wintering party which the Soviet government sent to Wrangel Island in 1934 under the leadership of Semenchuk. He and Dr. Wolfson were never friends, not after we threatened to expose him. Then on last Christmas Eve, as we were preparing to...
Open the door, Doctor! Open it up!
Yeah, Semenchuk.
He's probably drunk.
You long enough to open the door?
What do you want, Semenchuk?
I've got a trip for you to make, Doctor, to Point Blazon. One of the Eskimos up there is sick.
You've never worried about the health of an Eskimo before?
That's my business. Get your things on. You leave at once.
Not tonight, Semenchuk. It's 60 miles. The doctor doesn't even know the way in good weather.
Quiet, Gitella. Semenchuk, I don't believe there is anyone sick at Point Blazon.
You've got your orders.
My medicine kit, Gitella.
Here it is. Oh, Semenchuk, don't send him.
Don't worry. I'm sending Stachev with him as a guide. The doctor's ready, Stachev.
Let us get on the way, then.
Goodbye, Gitella.
Comrade Judge, that is the last time I saw my husband. I knew he was dead, though, even before Stachev returned without him. I had found this note on his desk. In the event of my death, I ask you to consider Konstantin Semenchuk guilty.
Konstantin Semenchuk to the staff. You ordered Dr. Wolfson killed, did you not?
That's my island, Wrangel Island. No man's land of the north. I am the man from Mars. You hear me? The man from Mars come to rule Wrangel Island. Let me out of here. The man from Mars!
In the case of the Soviet state against Konstantin Semenchuk, and S.P. Stachev, the government psychiatrists have found the defendant Semenchuk falsifying insanity. The court therefore does find the defendants guilty of murder and guilty of wrecking Soviet prestige in the Arctic, and does sentence Konstantin Semenchuk and S.P. Stachev to the highest measure of social defense, death by shooting.
And at dawn this morning into the courtyard of Moscow's Butyrsky prison march a squad of guards. Leave two prisoners standing alone against the gray wall. A Soviet official approaches the figures of the trembling men, presses a pistol against the temple of dog sled driver S.P. Stachev. And as the man falls to the ground, he turns quickly, raises the gun a second time, fires into the temple of terrorist tyrant Semenchuk, ex-governor of the Soviet pioneering scientific settlement on Wrangel Island. Time marches on.
You are listening to The March of Time, the reenactment of memorable scenes from the news of the world, prepared and presented by the editors of Time.
Tomorrow night, a great many of you will be going away for the Decoration Day weekend. Naturally, the roads will be crowded with cars, but this won't bother the driver who remembers to take along a package of Wrigley's spearmint gum. It really is a great help. It not only relaxes you and gives you refreshment, it also keeps you alert. This is no exaggeration. It is an actual fact that we hope you'll prove for yourself. And that's all we have to say, except to add that the makers of Wrigley's spearmint gum wish you a very happy holiday indeed. Time marches on. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. WABC, New York.